Chapter 41. That was all. Don't you see, he went on, the whole game is a gamble. Everybody gambles in one way or another. The farmer gambles against the weather and the market on his crops. So does the United States Steel Corporation. The business of lots of men is straight robbery of the poor people. But I've never made that my business. You know that. I've always gone after the robbers. I missed my point, she admitted. W, wait a minute. And for a space they rode in silence. I see it more clearly than I can state it, but it's something like this. There is legitimate work, and there's work that, well, that isn't legitimate. The farmer works the soil and produces grain. He's making something that is good for humanity. He actually, in a way, creates something, the grain that will fill the mouths of the hungry. And then the railroads and market riggers, and the rest proceed to rob him of that same grain. Daylight broke indeed, smiled, and held up her hand. Wait a minute. You'll make me lose my point. It doesn't hurt if they rob him of all of it, so that he starves to death. The point is that the wheat he grew is still in the world. It exists. Don't you see? The farmer created something, say 10 tons of wheat, and those 10 tons exist. The railroads haul the wheat to market, to the mouths that will eat it. This also is legitimate. It's like someone bringing you a glass of water, or taking a cinder out of your eye. Something has been done, in a way been created, just like the wheat. But the railroads rob like Sam Scratch, Daylight objected. Then the work they do is partly legitimate and partly not. Now we come to you. You don't create anything. Nothing new exists when you're done with your business. Just like the coal. You didn't dig it. You didn't haul it to market. You didn't deliver it. Don't you see? That's what I meant by planting the trees and building the houses. You haven't planted one tree, nor built a single house. I never guessed there was a woman in the world who could talk business like that, he murmured admiringly. Andy, you've got me on that point. But there's a lot to be said on my side just the same. Now you listen to me. I'm going to talk under three heads. Number one, we live a short time, the best of us, and we're a long time dead. Life is a big gambling game. Some are born lucky, and some are born unlucky. Everybody sits in at the table, and everybody tries to rob everybody else. Most of them get robbed. They're born suckers. Fellow like me comes along and sizes up the proposition. I've got two choices. I can herd with the suckers, or I can herd with the robbers. As a sucker, I win nothing. Even the crusts of bread are snatched out of my mouth by the robbers. I work hard all my days, and die working. And I ain't never had a flutter. I've had nothing but work, work, work. They talk about the dignity of labor. I tell you there ain't no dignity in that sort of labor. My other choice is to herd with the robbers, and I herd with them. I play that choice wide open to win. I get the automobiles, and the porterhouse steaks, and the soft beds. Number two. There ain't much difference between playing halfway robber like the railroad hauling that farmer's wheat to market, and playing all robber and robbing the robbers like I do. And, besides, halfway robbery is too slow a game for me to sit in. You don't win quick enough for me. But what do you want to win for? Deed demanded. Who have millions and millions, already? You can't ride in more than one automobile at a time, sleep in more than one bed at a time. Number three answers that, he said, and here it is. Men and things are so made that they have different likes. A rabbit likes a vegetarian diet. A lynx likes meat. Ducks swim. Chickens are scared of water. One man collects postage stamps, another man collects butterflies. This man goes in for paintings, that man goes in for yachts, and some other fellow for hunting big game. One man thinks horse racing is it, with a big eye, and another man finds the biggest satisfaction in actresses. They can't help these likes. They have them, and what are they going to do about it? Now I like gambling. I like to play the game. I want to play it big and play it quick. I'm just made that way. And I play it. But why can't you do good with all your money? Daylight laughed. Doing good with your money? It's like slapping God in the face, as much as to tell him that he don't know how to run his world, and that he'll be much obliged if he'll stand out of the way and give you a chance. Thinking about God doesn't keep me sitting up nights, so I've got another way of looking at it. Ain't it funny to go around with brass knuckles and a big club breaking folks' heads and taking their money away from them until I've got a pile, and then, repenting of my ways, going around and bandaging up the heads the other robbers are breaking? I leave it to you. That's what doing good with money amounts to. Every once in a while some robber turns soft-hearted and takes to driving an ambulance. That's what Carnegie did. He smashed heads in pitched battles at Homestead. Regular wholesale headbreaker he was, held up the suckers for a few hundred million, and now he goes around dribbling it back to them. Funny? I leave it to you. He rolled a cigarette and watched her half curiously, half amusedly. His replies and harsh generalizations of a harsh school were disconcerting, and she came back to her earlier position. I can't argue with you, and you know that. No matter how right a woman is, men have such a way about them. Well, what they say sounds most convincing, and yet the woman is still certain they are wrong. But there is one thing, the creative joy. Call it gambling if you will, but just the same it seems to me more satisfying to create something, make something, than just to roll dice out of a dice box all day long. Why, sometimes, for exercise, or when I've got to pay $15 for coal, I curry Mab, and give her a whole half hour's brushing. And when I see her coat clean and shining and satiny, I feel a satisfaction in what I've done. So it must be with the man who builds a house or plants a tree. He can look at it. He made it. It's his handiwork. Even if somebody like you comes along and takes his tree away from him, still it is there, and still did he make it. You can't rob him of that, Mr. Harnish, with all your millions. It's the creative joy, and it's a higher joy than mere gambling. Haven't you ever made things yourself? A log cabin up in the Yukon, or a canoe, a raft, or something. And don't you remember how satisfied you were, how good you felt, while you were doing it, and after you had it done? While she spoke, his memory was busy with the associations she recalled. He saw the deserted flat on the river bank by the Klondike, and he saw the log cabins and warehouses spring up, and all the log structures he had built, and his sawmills working night and day on three shifts. Why, doggone it, Miss Mason, you're right in a way. I've built hundreds of houses up there, and I remember I was proud and glad to see them go up. I'm proud now, when I remember them. And there was offer the most godforsaken moose pasture of a creek you ever laid eyes on. I made that into the big offer. Why, I ran the water in there from the Rinkabilly, 80 miles away. They all said I couldn't, but I did it, and I did it by myself. The dam and the flume cost me $4 million. But you should have seen that offer: power plants, electric lights, and hundreds of men on the payroll, working night and day. I guess I do get an inkling of what you mean by making a thing. I made offer, and by God, she was a sure hummer, I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to cuss. But that offer, I sure am proud of her now, just as the last time I laid eyes on her. And you won something there that was more than mere money, deed encouraged. How do you know what I would do if I had lots of money and simply had to go on playing at business? Take all the southerly and westerly slopes of these bare hills. I'd buy them in and plant eucalyptus on them. I'd do it for the joy of doing it anyway. But suppose I had that gambling twist in me which you talk about, why, I'd do it just the same, and make money out of the trees. And there's my other point again. Instead of raising the price of coal without adding an ounce of coal to the market supply, I'd be making thousands and thousands of cords of firewood, making something where nothing was before. and everybody who ever crossed on the ferries would look up at these forested hills and be made glad. Who was made glad by your adding $4 a ton to Rockwell's? It was Daylight's turn to be silent for a time while she waited an answer. Would you rather I did things like that? He asked at last. It would be better for the world, and better for you, she answered noncommittally. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.